Tonight we made three new friends. Our wine was cold. We did not eat passion fruit, and we're still not sure why we were nice. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
It continues to be Cardi B week. If you've been following me around station this week, you know that that's all that's playing on the tunes. So don't question it. I don't care that it was a Drake episode. It's still Cardi's week, even though he upset her number one on iTunes. We don't have to go into all of it.
Okay.
I just want you guys to know that it's still her week. We're here.
Yes,
we are. The Atlanta panel. Yes. How's everybody doing this week?
I'm hanging in there. How y'all doing?
I'm good.
I'm good. This episode brought back some memories of early times in L.A.
I won't point anyone out because I'm not, you know, I'm not a rat. But there's some stoner ladies on this panel. And we've been to some parties and we've seen some things. We're out in L.A. Best believe we're going to dive into all of it. I've got Ivana, Kelly, Drew, everybody's here. Let's just go straight into it.
Okay.
The first thing I want to ask you guys about, something Drew mentioned. She said, is Atlanta the new Simpsons? We have perhaps the largest IG model scandal this week since Drake's baby mama outed him and then disappeared, probably with her ducats. Good for you, girl. Are they the new Simpsons? What are we dealing with here? Is Atlanta just predicting things? We got the whole Michael Jackson storyline last week. What's happening?
I don't view it as a new Simpsons, but I'm very curious. Go ahead.
Okay, so, like, the Simpsons gets weirdly very
specific
about things. I feel like with Atlanta, it's more, we just don't learn our lesson. Yeah. And so it's almost like they can just keep doing these topics and it's going to pertain to something in the news. But it was like, as we were watching all this, I was like, is Tristan Thompson watching this?
No, Tristan Thompson's probably out with three girls again. Just like, I don't even care. It does not faze me. Jesus. He's got the money and he's young.
And he's
going to do what he wants to do. She can say it. She's Jamaican. what do we think about this opening with our IG model, Candace, talking about the stars are coming out. Poor Van is on her phone.
Yeah.
Peeping Earn's new girl. A lot of things happen in this first scene. Like, we get a sexual education on reproductive rights.
To block them KIDs.
Okay. Yes. That is an anthem and an oath for life.
Amen.
What do we think about the three new friends and specifically their interactions with Instagram?
I mean, the three new friends, like, that was cool. I appreciated that whole scene because that's how it is for us girls. Mm-hmm. Like, when we're dressing up, talking about our female reproductive systems, talking about these men and stuff while we're getting ready. So, that was so specific. I'm like, yo, like, I feel like these are my homegirls.
Yeah, I feel like everyone has, like, a Candace, a Tammy.
And a Nadine.
Jesus. Like, I feel like everyone has those friends. And I just like that there's, like, diversity to the black woman, and we got to see diversity in the black woman.
To our three black women, myself included, who are you in the group? If you're, are you Van, Tammy, Nadine, or Candace? For people who watched it, maybe didn't catch the names, Tammy was the white-hating bitch, who I love. Nadine was the nun who could not handle her weed. And Candace was the one who was not with DJ, but was definitely with DJ.
Yeah. I am a fair combo of Van and Tammy. Because I'm not always a Tammy. I don't say it out loud as much as I think it. But I definitely was like, she's not lying. So
I don't know which one I would be. I don't know.
She said, I don't like any of my options and I don't like to pass.
Yeah, I don't know.
I am for sure a Tammy if you get me drunk. If you get me drunk, I will start telling everyone about themselves. It's messy. But I would agree, maybe somewhere between a Van and a Tammy. I could never be a Candace. That's a whole lot. And Nadine don't know how to hold her weed, so no.
That's not me.
It's not an option. So we're left with our two. Tammy.
I just didn't think that was a good idea. Like, you don't give somebody an edible if that's, like, their first time and they don't use weed. You know what I'm saying? Like, we all have, you know, one of those bad stories. You try an edible and you hadn't done it before because, like, even in L.A., they're unregulated, you know, so they can put however much they want in it. So, so in Atlanta, of course she's going to act the way she did.
Mm. Speak on your spirit, Drew.
What's going on, girl? What's going on?
I remember when the first time I ever moved out here and I did an edible and I fell asleep on Venice Beach for a solid 6 hours.
Damn!
Who left you?
Some white bitches.
Oh!
You know, they... They know who they are. And I was much darker on this side than I was on my back.
Were you sunburned? Are you still friends with them? No, that's what I need
to know.
No. Okay. Okay, good. Okay. I answered for you. I didn't mean to, but I was like, you better not be.
No. She's like, no, you're not.
Problems with no. it. Well, since we're here, let's talk about babysitting our less experienced friends. I had a very recent experience where my friend was like, no, I eat edibles all the time. And I'm like, bet. Let's split this 100 milligram brownie. And we're going to chill for the evening, right? Now, Jesus. My brother, who's like 6'3 and like roughly 130, like he can pound edibles and he doesn't feel anything, right?
I didn't know you had a brother.
I do. I'll introduce you later.
Watch out.
But I, like, you know, 50... It's close to a mushroom hallucinogen, right? So you're like, okay, you're not quite seeing things, but your body's in it.
Well, I've never tried
mushrooms, so I don't know. Okay, all right. I will not confirm with you, but I will just state from my own personal experience, okay. This is what it was like. My friend was not prepared. 50 milligrams was far and away out of her comfort zone. About an hour in, she looks at me and she's like, so how do we make this stop? And I was like, that's not how these work. I thought that you were educated on the topic. I'm so sorry. I wouldn't have started you off so far into the deep end. Let's chat. What can we do here? She wound up throwing up a lot. And, you know, we just put her in the shower. She was fine. She's so good.
Fresh. She walked it off.
I have all kinds of love for her. We're just not going to do edibles again together. Do you guys have similar experiences? Or have you had to be babysitted in your, you know, intense first weed moments?
Yeah. I mean, you know, we went to college. But I had a friend, though. I that's why that episode was so triggering for me, or that moment, because my friend was the Nadine. And we were at this huge party. It's this thing where, like two HBCUs play each other in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl. And so it's a college in Louisiana and a college in Texas. And so there was this huge black-ass party in Dallas, Texas. And this girl got so drunk. She... pre-gamed before Locos. Have y'all had a four? See? Okay.
When you say
Four Locos, it's already understood.
Yeah.
So one Four Loco and it was all gone. Yeah, it's crazy.
That was her pre-game, okay? And then she drank some more. And so she was in the bathroom like the whole night. She took her panties off eventually when I came back and checked on her.
Like, why? Like, she was going hot down there?
Yeah, but also her she probably was.
Like, it was overheating, girl. I had to take my panties off.
Oh, Jesus.
It got a little toasty down there.
This liquor got me overheating,
yeah,
girl.
Exactly.
Where is this going? Did we all take edibles before coming on this show?
I was so exhausted with her, but her man was also like an ancient type of guy, because we were texting him like, hey, she's, you know, she's drunk. He didn't even want to come back and come get her.
So. I wouldn't either, boo. I'm so sorry. I've been like, well, you want to hang out with your girls tonight, so you got it. Take care of yourself. I'll see you in the morning.
Girls night is girls night and girls night only with no interruptions. Okay, so.
No, you gotta go get your girl, man.
Nah, I'm good.
Y'all trying to pass off the responsibility to the boyfriend. Like, and now she's yours.
Yeah, nah, that's not how that works. Although I've been that guy that's had to go pick up my girl who was crazy, and yeah, it just was all bad. So I have an edible experience. It's terrible. And of course, when I say Coachella, you're like, of course.
Duh.
But that was literally my first experience trying an edible. And the problem I have is I have a really bad sweet tooth. So you can't just say, oh, here's a cookie, have a piece of it, because I'm going to eat the whole damn cookie because I already like cookies.
Yeah.
So in this particular situation, it was a cake pop, and they cut it in half, and they cut that half in half, and they cut that half in half. Kelly, just have a piece. And I'm like, oh, this is nothing. Like, I can handle this. I ended up having half of that cake pop. Now, I'm pretty sure that cake pop was laced with more than just weed, because when I went to bed that night, like, I was fine. I went to bed that night, popped up.
But when you woke up.
Yeah, no, wait. Mm. Popped up, middle of the night, popped up, went to the bathroom, looked at myself in the mirror for a good couple minutes, splashed water on my face, got out, sat by the foot of the bed, stared off who knows how long, got back up, got back in bed. I repeated those same steps for about 5 to 6 hours. That same
is a lot of pattern.
Because I thought I was stuck in a time loop. And
Kelly, no.
Yes. Wait. I was stuck in a time loop, and the only way I thought that I could escape the time loop was to figure out every time I did those set of steps, I knew that I was doing it something slightly different than the time before. So I thought that if I could identify what I did, let me finish, because I know it sounds crazy. If I thought that I could identify what I did the time before that was slightly different, that caused a slight shift in the time change, Because say those series of steps took 5 minutes, and then I would always do something that might be an extra 10 seconds. If I figured out what it was, then I would gain that 10 seconds on that 5 minutes. And if I kept doing it long enough, okay. I'd so have enough time.
So this is stuck in a sci-fi movie, right?
Love this story.
Pretty much.
Don't do drugs.
Take it from us.
Pretty much, yeah.
Intense.
Time loop controlled by the Time Master.
You know, crazy things happen when you alter your brain chemistry.
You know.
Speaking of altering our brain chemistry, Instagram is said to do that to you. Yeah. I was reading an article the other day that said, like, people who go on Instagram tend to be sadder. Yeah. In general, yeah. People go to social media sites to uplift themselves and, like, connect, and they end up walking away kind of depressed, which I'm sure at some point in time everyone can identify with that situation of being like, man, screw everybody on the Instagram. I don't want it. And it's clearly not working for Van tonight. What do we think of Earn's new boo? Is that his boo? Is she jumping to conclusions?
Here's the thing about Instagram, because I'm kind of in a situation similar to Van's situation, and I feel like I don't have a baby. By the way, I feel like I gotta throw that out there. There's no Lottie.
Chicken?
There's chicken always. But but I feel like you, Instagram and like Snapchat, it's like 10, 20 seconds of life, and you can make anything seem like anything. You know what I'm saying? True. Like, there are clips we see with celebrities all the time where there'll be 10 seconds of a clip where they look mad crazy, and then if you play the rest of the clip, it was just like a misunderstanding or something. Mm-hmm. You know, like, anything can be misconstrued to be anything. And when you're in a recent breakup or when you're going your separate ways with someone, you want to see that they're not doing as good as you are, and you want them to believe that even though you're hurting, you're doing great. And so what's the best way to do that without seeing them? Instagram.
Try to make them jealous.
Yep. And so I felt for her in that moment.
Have you guys ever completed this game plan and felt satisfied afterwards?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Completed the game plan, elaborate.
So Van's game plan is, I'm gonna go to Drake's party, I'm gonna look fly as hell, I'm gonna get a good picture with Drake, and then Earn will scan past it and be like, oh, she's over me, she's moved on, look at her, like, great, fabulous life. But she's only doing it because she saw Earn with a hot chick. So my question is when you're on socials and you get in your feelings about something that either someone has posted or something new that's going on in their lives, and then you're able to, do you then set, I know people who've set the plan and been like, okay, I'm going to fix this by having a better life visually on Instagram. And I just want to know if that works, if people feel better, or if at the end of that you're like, because Van at the end of it could have had a cardboard stand up, like, it wasn't anything.
It was so cheesy.
Okay. Can I?
Go ahead.
All right. So, yes, I've executed said game plan. Yes, I felt pretty damn good about it. Only because I felt vindicated, because I wanted them to see that even though you hurt me, you broke me, I am having a good time. And even though
Kelly? Like, how do you know, like, at the end of the day, like, either A, they saw it. Like, do they have to like it for it to be a win?
Yeah. Well, first off, you can't unfriend them or block them. They need to be, even though they say when you break up with someone, you're supposed to disconnect your socials. Yeah. Don't disconnect it, because they need to be able to see it, because you don't know if they're going to stalk it. But at least if you know that they're still following you because you didn't unfollow them, they didn't unfollow you, then that way it's at least going to hit their timeline. They're going to see it at some point. Now,
it sounds like a whole lot of extra emotional baggage that I don't need in my life.
It is.
If you're keeping track of whether somebody is able to see that you've moved on, you have not moved on from the situation.
Well, no, it's not. But no, it's not a matter of keeping track if they're able to see. It's just a simple matter of, you kind of assume that we still follow each other, you're going to see. I can see what you're doing, you can see what I'm doing. I'm not going to necessarily go out of my way to check for it, but if I'm scrolling down my timeline and I see it, I see it. And I think that's one of those, you know, those underlying hopes that you have, is like, I want them to see it.
Exactly, because you haven't let go. That's my whole point. If you desire for someone to see it, no, if you desire for them to see it, even if it's out of petty or spite because you want to hurt them, you have not moved on from it. When you've moved on, you've deleted that person. You're like, I don't even think about you. Like, I woke up today, lived my whole life, and I didn't even have to, like, you didn't cross my mind. That is moving on.
I see Instagram as, because, again, I deleted the person off of everything. Like, as soon as it went bad, I was like, I just need to
clean swipe.
Separate.
And here's the thing, though. You're going to have mutual friends. People are going to look at your stuff. People are going to ask about the other person, whatever. Is it a plus that when you look at my socials, you see I'm out here doing the damn thing? Yes. But I look at my Instagram and whatnot more as like a vision board, you know, more as things that I want to bring into fruition, things I want to continue. Like, I look at my Instagram, I'm like, look at all this positive ass things I have going on in my life right now. You know what I'm saying?
So, I respect it. This is a healthy way to interact with your Instagram.
Yeah, definitely.
Miss Ivana looked like she had something to say, and then she was like, No, I don't know
if we were going to transition yet, but I guess Kelly has something to say.
No, I ain't done. So, I was simply going to add. No.
Kelly, you got 10 seconds.
Let me live my life. Look, all I was going to say is that, again, like you said, you never know what's behind those posts. And having said that, I'm playing devil's advocate. Earn Giggly getting his life while getting his hair twisted doesn't necessarily mean that that's his boo. That just means that he's low-key just having a little flirty fun with a chick that's twisting up his hair.
It's one of those things, social media, you can assume anything, and there's no real grasp of reality on. Well, I can post
everyone's perception is a reality, so she perceives him to be getting his life with that cutie.
Sounds like some of y'all need to grow in all areas of your lives.
Yes, Ivana. Yes.
And if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, for those of you who do, we have a podcast for you, okay? Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition is hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder and drops every Friday on iTunes. So don't forget that, every Friday, okay? Conversations with Maria Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life.
She's great.
From health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more, let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free.
Woo!
Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was us who sent you there, okay? The Atlanta panel, like, specifically. Mm-hmm. Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out.
It comes out in literally hours, so you don't have excuses. Yeah. I don't want to hear, I forgot. I don't want to hear, like, I don't know about it. You do know about it. We've told you about it. It's great. You just need to go check it out.
Yeah.
Get your life. Get your lessons. Don't repeat Van's mistakes from tonight. Let's talk about nice for what. My girl Tammy didn't feel the need to be nice to the white lady she perceived as taking a good black man away.
Oh, boy.
This is a conversation we've been having for a long time. It's a conversation that was recently brought up in Insecure. And some people, when that hit, a lot of people on the internet were like, why are we still talking about this?
Mm-hmm.
We have a ton of interracial relationships, a ton of interracial babies. Like, is it still a thing? Especially, first year by black women. Kelly, I'm going to get a very unique perspective from you in a second.
Yep, you sure are.
Does it bother you if you see black men with white women? How do you feel about it?
First of all, I'm biracial. My mother is white. My dad is Jamaican. So you already know what that means about him.
Why are you always telling on your people, Drew? This is a lot.
I'm telling on my men.
She's like prepared. It's like, I'm telling
you about the men. And it doesn't bother me. What bothers me is I don't care if you're dating a white girl. I could care less. What I care is that for a lot of people, a lot of them, they, for some reason, it's you have to belittle black women in order to uplift your white women. I could care less if you got your Khloe, Kourtney, Kim, Kylie. Like, I really don't care. And that's not me trying to be bitter or anything like that. I'm doing my own thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's yours is yours, what's mine is mine. We're not going to, if that's what you want, we're clearly not going to connect anyway. So I'm not pressed on it. But stop acting like we're pressed on it. You know what I'm saying? And also stop, like, glamorizing these white women who have black women features and then shitting on black women with those features. Because I don't got time for that.
It's a word from Drew. Yes.
It's a new segment.
I was just about to say, let's go.
You look like you had something to say.
Oh, no. I'm going to wait for her to hand it off to me.
I want an honest perspective on it. Does it bother you? Do you have feelings about it?
Not really. It doesn't bother me. I mean, just like, do your thing. Who cares? And I don't know. I just worry about myself and I don't worry about them. But I think it's really fascinating as well. Like, I think sometimes, especially I've seen it mostly out here in LA, I think that black men and white women use each other like for this aesthetic or whatever. And they think that it's progressive and things. It's like, you know, having sex with a black person doesn't make you any less racist. Like, it's actually racist to use somebody in that way. Fact. So I don't care. But I think at the same time, for white women, I think it's really fascinating how they allow themselves to be used by black men in that way. So I'm like, I don't get it, but whatever.
And real quick, before I let you go off, I also want to say, because then y'all are going to start reproducing, and then y'all aren't ready to raise these black babies
That is the worst. Don't do that. Do not put children through your own racism.
Mixed babies are not going to end racism. Mixed babies are not an aesthetic. We are not instantly cute. See my middle school pictures for proof. Oh my God,
shut up. We need those on IG staff. No.
They're out there. But yeah, like, it's not an aesthetic, cool, interracial, whatever, but you need to be understanding what you're adapting into when you go into inter- you need to understand the other person's culture, you need to understand their struggles. It's not an aesthetic.
I think a lot of them don't even have those types of conversations either.
Which is weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is, it's definitely problematic. I will risk sounding like the crazy person. It doesn't bother me when I see any kind of mixed relationship, but it does bother me the trophy aspects of it.
Yeah.
The presentation, like the over-presentation of the fact, like, oh my God, we've come together and we are healing the world with our love. Or much worse, like, I got away, bitch. Like,
dude, those vlogging couples on YouTube, those interracial.
Oh my God.
Okay, I'm with you on that.
Gross. Okay. So gross. So, Kelly, my question for you then, as a man who is black and like, I feel like there's a lot of pressure on black men to date black women. And I, A, wanted to know if you felt that. And B, wanted to know if you've ever encountered a situation like this where, like, a black woman wants to read your white date or you for having a white date.
Okay. All right. So...
Oh, are you in an interracial relationship?
Yes.
Oh.
So, okay. Because I'll start off with saying this. My dad always told me, I don't care who you date. As long as you don't exclusively date any one person from any one particular race.
Your dad didn't want you to fetishize anyone. Good job, Daddy.
Right, exactly. So that was the first thing. But then at the same time, he also said, you know, just understand, especially if you're going to date someone outside of your race, especially if they're going to be a, you know, if it's going to be a white woman, if she isn't in the know, it is your responsibility to get her in the know. You also need to understand that there's additional things that you have to teach your children when you have kids. You can't just let them go out in the world just not understanding or not knowing that regardless of the fact that your mother is white, at the end of the day, when you walk outside that door, people are going to see you as a black person. Mm-hmm. So being given those tools, I think, gave me a different perspective when entering into an interracial relationship. I've always said I'm an equal opportunity lover, so and I am. You know, my ex-wife was black. So it's never, and I agree. I don't like when people get into an interracial relationship and then they want to say, well, see, this is so much better because, you know, I don't get an attitude or I don't get drama. Like, that's the wrong approach. That's the wrong perspective because that's not, you can't make a blanket statement. You don't want people to make a blanket statement on you or us as black men, so it's unfair to do that to black women. I love my sisters. I love black women.
Also, black women birth you. Don't. Ugh.
Exactly. My mama's black, literally. I don't... Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, I'm not... At the end of the day, I've never been... You know, I've never been dragged... But I have gotten the dirty looks and all of that and then some. For me, when she was trying to read her and she was like, look, I've been with this dude since he was in community theater and all that. Like, I felt that because that's my life all day. It wasn't like, oh, like, let me get a white girl. And for her, it wasn't, oh, let me get a black dude. It was simply, I met this guy. He's a great guy. I met this woman. She's a great woman. If we connect, we connect. And that's how I feel like it should be approached. But I have dated white women before that, like, I knew they really was only rocking with me just because it's like, oh, I want to date a black guy.
How did you handle that?
I ended it. Because for me, like, I'm not...
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. Because, no, because there's nothing worse. It's like, be with me because I'm cool. Be with me because you actually think I'm attractive. Don't be with me just because you want to be able to get your numbers up and be like, yeah, see, you know, like, I'm progressive. I date black dudes and I'm cool. Especially when you tell me, like, oh, God, you so fine. You so this. And you pump them, you gas me up. But then I see other other dudes that you're with either before or after, and I'm like, that dude is trash. So if you telling me I'm fine, you was probably telling him the same thing, and it's not really that you really think that we're attractive and we're handsome. It's we're just trophies.
I'm glad you said that, because there's some black men, it takes them forever to realize that they're also being used. So that's why I'm like, did you really finally like come to the realization and you just ended it right then and there? That's all.
Well, for I'm sorry, real quick. I'm almost done. I remember being in middle school, and that's when I became aware of race. It being popular for, you know, white girls to start dating black guys. Like, it was, oh, it's okay and it's cool now. And that's when I first became aware. My dad's always kept me woke in the when it comes to stuff like that, and kept me in the know. So I feel like I have an advantage, and I have a different perspective when it comes to that.
Couple things. I do think it's interesting that, like, dating a black man is a sense of, like, it has this, like, status of, like, that being cool or whatever. And
it's not that it's cool. I definitely want to clarify that. It's not about cool points. It's about a couple of things. For a lot of girls, it's about pissing off their parents. My brother has dated girls with racist parents who thought it would be fun to, like, shove a black guy in their face. That's not fun, and it's not fucking cute. It's not okay. You put people's lives in danger.
Yeah.
It's a lot of times about subverting a culture that you don't know anything about.
But, like, that culture is being celebrated right now. So, in a way, I mean, like, there is a lot of reasons, but in a way, it is kind of like...
It is cool, because black men are cool.
Yeah.
I think it gives people a high. I just don't think that people do it for, like...
I think there's a lot of other underlying reasons that people do it, like you said. But I do think there is a sense of, like, I'm kind of popping because I got this cool... Like, because even though, like... We're getting shot, and even though all the, you know, we're not getting treated equally, being black is popping. Like, we
it's
know
dope.
That.
It's been dope.
We're the culture.
Yeah. Right.
We are, like, we set the style, we set the music, we set
the language,
everything. So it's like, in a way, to if you can't physically turn yourself into a black person, what's the next thing you can do? You can procreate date with one. Person. You can date with one. So I think that's weird, because then on the flip side, like, it's... You're not cool if you date a black woman. And I think it was also interesting that the darkest girl in the group is the one that had kind of, in a way, was given the angry black woman persona towards, like, dating, like, the interracial dating or whatever. Yeah. I thought that was interesting just because, like, I'm light-skinned. I don't deal with, I refuse to date black guys who only will date me because I'm light-skinned.
Oh, tell it.
Because I think that's gross. Because, like, I want kids one day, and you're not. I'm not about to have kids with someone who. My daughter's probably going to be dark. You know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to.
Athlete who was like, dark skinned girls are ugly, and then he has two like beautiful dark skinned girls.
Yeah,
and you're like, the hell is wrong with you?
I don't have time for that shit. I'm not going to continue. Like, that's something we as light skinned women can do, like, to stop that colorism bullshit. Is to not even entertain that shit. Like, if you really about that life, you can go with a white girl who's okay with it.
I thought it was.
I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting, too, because I was wondering if maybe Donna was speaking from his own personal experience, because he's also in an interracial relationship. Mm-hmm. So I wondered and he's got some biracial kids, too. So I wonder if he was kind of writing from that perspective of
it's
maybe he's had an issue.
When we look at the details of, like, what was shown through that couple. So first of all, when we first see her, she's handing him a drink, and they're, like, looking very lovingly into each other's eyes, and it's not... They're not worried about anybody else. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the two of them. And then later when they come back, it seemed as if the girlfriend or wife had experienced this before, because she had a much calmer reaction than I think most white girls would be. She was like, okay, so what if?
Yeah.
Like, I just really love him.
Maybe I'm just a good woman.
And while I agreed with Tammy's read of her, of just like...
Because it was funny.
It's not for that woman to carry on her shoulders alone, but I understood her like frustration of being like, oh, look, girl, I can't be bringing home no, like, I don't know if you guys have, like, families that are, like, way too into your business, but, like, bring home
black.
A community college theater kid. Like, my whole family's going to be like, the hell are you doing? Like, you need to go get a career. Your grandmother has 3 degrees, so we expect at least that from you. Like, get on it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a whole string of things. So I agreed with that, but then what I thought was most poignant was when he comes back. And she's like, look, that's a no. We got to get out of here. And he just turns to her and he goes, sorry.
Yeah.
Which I thought was very interesting. It's not necessarily an apology for who he is, but definitely like a, I see you, sis. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was
really he's apologizing,
like, I'm sorry
for
you
his
met.
Relationship.
Yeah. Well, should he have to? Like,
No.
He doesn't have to, but
there's
sometimes black men do that.
But I don't know why. Like, I really appreciated that. Yeah. Sorry, but I don't know why.
There's a couple. Well, because I think one, he feels like this isn't, that case isn't particularly their case, but he respects that that's something that she feels, you know? But I also, why am I having a brain shortage right now? I don't know. Someone else talk until I remember what I was going to say.
It's just a really interesting relationship to watch kind of play out, like two people in love.
I remember now.
When, you know, all we've seen from them is somebody judging them. Yeah. Interesting perspective.
I also thought it was really interesting that she brought up that, like you were saying, that, you know, she can't bring home a community theater. Like, we can't. It's interesting how many qualifications Black women have to have just to be considered, like, dateable or, like, worthy of being with. Like, we're the highest educated people, general, in the country. Mm-hmm. Black women. Not Black men, not white men, not Black women.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just think it's interesting that, like, in order for a Black woman to be desirable in America, it's, we have to have a degree. We have to have, you know, X amount of money. We have to have a car. We can't have kids.
No,
we can't,
kids.
But, like, Black men can have two baby mamas, can, you know, be
in a club with three women on top of him.
Can be.
I can't even devil's advocate for that.
Grinding on their mixtape, and it's acceptable, and we're expected to hold it down for them and shut up and just take it and be okay with it.
Even on top of that, then we're celebrated when we take their shit. You know what I mean? Like, I cheated on her, like, for 5 years. But I didn't have no money. But she loved me, and that's Gucci what got Mane. Me through. I'm not here to Gucci raise Mane. Your ass.
Exactly. Like, Gucci Mane and his wife, prime example.
No. They revel, like, in pain.
Because they were celebrating her, like, oh, yeah, you know, she got it. She getting her coins. Her man is doing this. Her man's doing that. It's like, yeah, but he drug her through the mud. Like and why does she deserve that? Why does she have to go through that in order to get to where she,
probably
to get to the finish line?
5 years way too fast.
And then you, like, look at a situation like Kehlani and Kyrie. When they broke up, she was seen with Party Next Door. Didn't cheat on Kyrie. Didn't do anything. And she got dragged through the mud. Meanwhile, we got Offset out here cheating on Cardi. And it's just like, oh, Offset's a dog. Okay,
boss, time out. So that's facts. I kept hearing that. No, real talk. I'm sorry. Don't judge. But I kept hearing that, and I wasn't 100% sure. Like, I was like, are people just saying that?
Offset, dirty as hell.
Offset, and she posted a thing that was like, we're done, and then the next day she's like, no, I'm just kidding. That's a bad Libra move, Cardi, and I need you to know.
So then she is talking about him in the album.
She's absolutely talking about him. Let's move on very quickly to Van. Was Van too comfortable in the mansion?
Oh, absolutely, but Van was also a little too high in the mansion.
Yeah.
Or was she living her best life, guys?
She was living her best life.
Both. She can do both. And that's what she did. So, yeah.
Brandon was real, real thirsty.
It's a little bit past thirst.
He was dehydrated?
Brandon was creepy.
He made me very, very uncomfortable. Predatory.
And I'm a dude. And I was low-key like, dude, stop. Yes. Like, right now. Like, you're doing way too much. You're way too helpful.
Yeah, too nice. Too helpful.
For those of you who don't know, Brandon was the guy chasing Erna around who was like, do you need some toilet paper outside of the bathroom?
Brandon made me really uncomfortable because I've been put in situations like that. And luckily, people were able to come through before something bad happened. But that type of guy is, I don't go to LA parties anymore, but when I first moved out here, I did, and those type of guys are so common, and the sad thing is that those parties are set up that so guys like that can prosper, and no one says anything, and no one, you know, is looking out for anyone. That party that is on the episode tonight is very much a very real thing. I think I was telling you guys during the show that I went to a party that Tyga hosted for New Year's Eve, like, 2 years ago, and he didn't show up until, like, I left by the time he showed up, but he apparently didn't show up till like 3-4. But it was just all of his dudes in there.
So he didn't even bring in New Year's at his own party?
No, it's just, but it's his friends will throw a party at his house.
Oh.
And then just bring in mad girls.
Use his name to bring in.
That's such a normal thing. And it's just like these gross, like, predatory type guys that will just like follow you into the bathroom and shit like that. And it's just wild that like, it's set up for them to prosper.
And then now we got Molly Water, so you can't even trust something as simple as getting a bottle of water from somebody, which is, again, when he handed her the water, that's the first thing, because he just had it.
Yeah.
And the fact that he had it so readily, like, I don't just walk
and
around
with... He popped it out like a magic trick.
Right.
I'm like,
and like...
Man, hell nah.
I mean, even me, like, I'm very resourceful, and I have a lot of random things at my disposal at any given time, but I never just have random just water unopened, just chilling. Like, if I've got water in my hand, I've already been drinking from it, and that looked like a fresh water, but it didn't look like a fresh water where it had been untainted. So I was like, please don't drink this water, let alone give it to your homegirl who's already tripping.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I just think it's wild how we just, in order to have a good time, women have to be prepared for so many different scenarios.
Your guard is up. And how can you enjoy yourself?
And exactly. And y'all literally can just walk into the party and not be a thing.
Not y'all.
I'm not saying, I'm saying men in general. You all don't have to worry about, like, we have to worry about our drinks. We have to worry about walking into a bathroom.
We have to try so hard to not get raped just to have a fun time.
We have to be careful about what clothes we wear, because apparently if we decide to feel good about ourselves and wear something cute, like, we're asking for it.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's a
miracle that we leave the house.
But if you willingly choose to give it up, then and it's consent, then you're a hoe. Like, there's just no winning for us going out.
Guys, was Candy a bad friend for leaving? Because as we're talking about this subject and needing to make sure, you know, like, we have to do a lot of things to make sure we're safe, like, the number one thing that you, at least for my friends, you just need to do a face-to-face interaction before you leave. Who are you leaving with? Where are you going? Are you safe? Do you have a way home? Do you have enough money for a lift? Like, the fact that she was just like, go to another party, bye. I was like, bitch, what?
Yeah.
Not only that, but all of the things that you just said, in addition to, what's your level, what's your friend's level of intoxication? Exactly. Because depending on how intoxicated they are, no, you can't even go with this person. No. I don't care if he's friends with Jesus.
Yeah. I went to Vegas last year for my birthday, and two of the girls that I was with, we all decided, it ended up being like 3 a.m., and half of us were like, okay, we're getting tired, we're going to head back to the hotel. The other two were like, we're going to actually stay out, and we said, okay, stick together. It gets to be 6 a.m., everyone's asleep. I get a call from the front desk because one of the girls left the other one just to wander around in Las Vegas. She calls, comes in, cusses everyone out. That's a whole different story. But the point is, like, the girl was so fine with just leaving this girl in the middle of Las Vegas by herself, drunk as hell. And it's just like, you can't do shit like that. That might be something that's fine with the boys, because you all can probably make it home okay. Mm-hmm. But
even when I hang out, like, I have about a 50-50 split of friends, but it's like my guy friends and my girlfriends. My guy friends, even if we split up, I'm like, who are you going home with? Where are you going? Like, text me when you get there so I know that you're safe. Just because, like, even if you got, like, my worst fear is just, like, dying and no one noticing.
Yeah.
I'm, like, checking on people constantly. Like, you good? Like, you still alive? Great. I did my thing. Right,
yeah. And I'll say this one thing in the defense of men, since I am a man.
You didn't have to, though. Like,
I am.
I am.
The same way there's a real big importance on, in, you know, keeping your friends in the loop and keeping your friends connected. There can be the same thing said for guys going out, because there are people that will take advantage of guys depending on how intoxicated they are. Because I have had friends that have gone out and gotten separated, and then they get, you know, they end up going back somewhere with a chick, and then they get robbed.
I'm saying it's happened on multiple occasions.
That's, I've never been robbed, but it's happened on multiple occasions.
Okay, I think the percentages are different, but I hear what you're saying.
Y'all was ready to drag me right now.
Let's move on to Darius really quick.
We were supposed to get on your ass.
We gotta wrap up running out of time. Darius is the best person to deal with a too high person. I will entertain all of your wild ass thoughts.
He's calm.
Yeah.
Now I would go on a trip, like a acid trip with Darius. Be like, let's go into the woods.
An intentional trip. Yeah.
Girl, what kind of drugs do you do, girl?
A lot. We can talk about it after.
Okay.
But yeah, like, it would just be like, I feel like he would be a really good, like, guru slash shaman. Like, he's gonna answer all of your questions, he's gonna have a lot of knowledge to back it up, so you have both facts, but also he's willing to go out on a lot of, like, long tangents with you. He's very comfortable with just letting you be, so you don't feel pressure to, like, be relaxed. He's like, you know, just do you. My point is, can I marry Darius? Where do I find a Darius? Like, he is kind of perfect. I like their entire conversation.
Weirdo southern guy.
I want to know more, because that conversation was one that, even as, you know, even being sober, I kind of wanted to get in on, like, explain to me more about this simulation.
It almost seems like reminiscent of, like, an Adam and Eve moment or something, but, and then, like, they bit into the apple, but maybe I'm thinking too hard into it.
I felt
that's
very,
you know,
like,
what?
How it felt.
That's a nice perspective.
I feel that. I often feel like I'm in the Truman Show a lot. Like, I often feel like my show is, or my life is a TV show, and y'all are actors.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I was there for that conversation. Like, yeah, we are simulations.
And I said that too, because I was like, oh, so is it Adam and Eve? And then they're like, the simulations, like, somebody's making moves for him. Like, oh, so then there's God.
Yeah. I got a drunk 7-year-old playing my life right now.
They even said ancestors, which made me think of like how often we relive the lives of our ancestors or tell their stories.
Yeah.
And stories are basically just simulations. So yeah, that was a really cool conversation. Let's get into some quick news and gossip. No, we gotta go to news and gossip. Look at the time. We gotta go. Lakeith posted a photo on his Twitter today that was disturbing and also informative. It is a baby Michael Jackson holding his adult face as a mask. Do you guys have feelings about this image? Because I'm going to have nightmares.
I was trying to go to bed right after this show, and I'm going to have to stay up a little bit to get this out of my mind.
Yeah, I'm going to have to watch some other stuff.
Yeah, and the tweet says, all jokes aside, this is a very tragic and beautiful painting. I want to track it down. Yeah, you hang that right over your bed, and we're made by the strangest people, which is Lakeith, so he's probably got weird poo nanny happening anyway. Like, I just, it's so, I need this painting, but also I need to burn it. It bothers me deeply.
Yeah, it is a lot to handle. I'm going to stop looking at it.
Yeah. Okay. It is a lot to dissect.
I'm going to look away now.
Yeah, I felt the need to share that. If I was like, if I'm going to be uncomfortable, I need everyone to be uncomfortable with me.
Wow, you share.
I do. I have a big heart.
Caring.
Let's get into some really quick predictions.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
Because this is Atlanta and things happen wildly and crazily, instead of predictions this week, I want to ask you guys, if you were at this party, what is the number? Do you steal Drake's jacket? Do you take the photo?
Jacket, not the photo,
for sure.
Jacket, and it depends. I might low-key. If I thought I could get away with it and not... No, I'm being honest.
I feel you.
If I thought I could get away with it and nobody would know that that was a cardboard cutout, I'm taking the photo, and I'm getting them slides.
Look,
I'm just saying.
Here's the thing. The lie has been convinced. Like, you were at home scrolling through IG feeling jealous of other people's, like, hangout with Drake, even though it wasn't hanging out with nobody. I'm just saying, it's already out there. Like, let me just hop in here and grab a few extra 100 followers. Like, it's
I call
just
them the Drake
right
Graham
there.
Hustlers and shout out because they was getting it.
But I wasn't surprised, Van bought it because Van's not that really about that life, like, she's not in that Instagram life. I feel like social media has gotten to the point where everyone's an investigator. Someone would have been able to be like, he's in Europe right now, bitch, bye.
It's very true. It's very possible. But for
all
everyone
she had
that
to
would,
do was, like, look it up, like, see where Drake was or something. Mm-hmm. If he's not said anything about... Of course, he probably won't tweet about a party at my house or something. Mm-hmm. But you could probably find out that Drake is not even in the United States of America. You could at least find that out.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry we had a short show today, guys, and we could not get into the whole Drake being Mexican thing.
Or the shuttle bus with all the
so
breezies.
Shady.
The email from Drake.
Standard. The shuttle bus is the most standard. Here's a tip. If you're going to a club that you should not be going into or don't have entry into, don't be the first person. Hide behind a bunch of beautiful chicks and you will get in. I promise you, it works every time. Surround yourself with gorgeous chicks and just shimmy and shuffle and no one's going to question anything. They're going to be like, oh, you belong. It's great. You're their PR person. Hold up a phone and be like, smile, girls. They're never going to question you. Don't be first. That's just how you get weeded out. Finally, because we do have to wrap up, I just want to ask you guys, what do you hope Van does from this point on? Because Van, like, her trip's been so crazy. Like, she doesn't have a job. Like, she broke things off with Ern. I think when she was in a funk and kind of in a mood, as opposed to really rationally thinking about what she wanted to do with her relationship. What do you hope is next for Van?
I hope that she can kind of, like, get her ish together. I want to see Van, like, get a job and be able to move on. I want to see who Van's next man is going to be. Like, see her going on a date and, like, there's other ways to get over it. And what she's trying right now is not working. So,
I want to see Van happy. I feel like we've seen her just going through it for a minute now. I want to see her kind of have some self-discovery and, like, I want Van and Lottie moments. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I want
Lottie.
Yeah. Okay. I don't want it to be about a dude for a minute.
Okay, now I can dig that. Now, nobody here wants to see them possibly get things back on track?
Not right now. They're not. Neither one of them are in places.
I feel like if they got back together, they would have this exact same issues. It's not that I don't want to see them together. Yeah. They just both need to make major milestones before they could be a couple.
So I'll piggyback on that. I do want to see Van happy. I would like to see Van and Lottie because I don't feel like we've really gotten to see much of Lottie at all.
We've seen zero of Lottie.
Me personally,
season.
I am still Team Van and Ern. I want them to work it out, but I can agree that it might not happen this season and we might have to see it on the third.
I just want Van to get a job. How are you paying your bills? This is scary.
That's what I need to know.
Because Ern's getting that money right
until
now.
Until next week, where Paperboy is in the woods, poor Alfred is not looking good.
No.
Where can the folks find you?
All right, you already know it's your man, Mr. Personality, Mr. Chaos J on Twitter, Chaos_Oceans31 on Instagram. Don't laugh. 31 flavors of waviness, 24/7, 365. Don't hate, because you know it was nice.
ABC123. my name is Drew Jones. You can follow me on all the things at OK Drew J. Make sure to like and subscribe us right now. I'm going to give you 2 seconds to like this video.
I haven't said anything.
Okay, it should be liked by now. Go check out the new AfterBuzz website. And
okay. And again, everyone, I'm Ivana Williams. You can follow me on Twitter at Ivana L. Williams. And you can also catch me on the Star After Show right here on Wednesdays at 7.
Hey, guys, I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at Black Girl Nerds. Get ready, because Westworld is coming back. I'm going to be on the panel with a bunch of dope people. I'm going to be bringing down all things. Thaddy Newton is going to be awesome. Stay tuned. Thanks for joining us.
Bye.
We've been Atlanta.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Spitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.